Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior Wrap-Up Podcast. We are back after a three-week break to bring you some amazing American Ninja Warrior recaps for amazing American Ninja Warrior regular episodes of TV that I'm on. I hope that you all watched because my face was on the screen many a time. What a beautiful sight to behold. I thought probably my favorite episode of the whole thing just because, you know, I was the star. But I'm not the star of this podcast. I'm here with the amazing Lita. Lita, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm going to try not to be too starstruck. I'm going to try not to trip over my words because I'm talking to such a American Ninja Warrior star, but I think we'll be okay.
Well, hopefully. I mean, you know, I'm not going to forget the little people now that I'm a big star. You know, I've always kind of been a big star, but now it's a little bit even bigger. So don't worry about it, but I will be finding a new co-host soon. So, we've had this big break. What have you been up to this whole time?
It's been an eventful few weeks for me. I am finally on vacation right now, but no vacation for podcasting for me. This is my favorite place to be. So I am ready to get back into it. Watched a ton of Olympics, which is really weird for me. For some reason, I got really into it this year. I think it's because Michael Phelps went to my school, my college. And so I got really into it for him. And then I just kept watching, finished The Genius, got some new glasses. Really an eventful 3 weeks for me.
Thrilling. Everything except for The Genius just sounded really boring. But The Genius... That's amazing. By the way, I don't know if we've mentioned it on the show before, but The Genius, one of my favorite shows of all time. Everyone should check that show out. It's a Korean game show. It's really, really awesome. But yes, what I've been up to, I've been up to so many things. Thank you for asking.
I thought we were going to talk about me for another hour at least.
Well, you know, there's only so much we can do. But here's something interesting that's happened to me. For the first time I had something stolen from me, but it wasn't really from me. It was from where I work, but it was the things that I use. My cameras at my job were stolen from the office. There was a dude that came in the office and stole our cameras, which was kind of crazy.
Oh my God.
And so I spent like a week, figuring out like, all right, how are we like, what new cameras are we getting? Still haven't ordered them. I'm still cameraless.
How do you know it was a dude? Women can be thieves. Women can do anything.
There was a dude on the security cameras. Maybe I'm releasing too much information about this currently ongoing criminal case.
But, I was trying to make a very loose connection to American Ninja Warrior. Oh. Women can be just as good thieves as men.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You know, that's certainly possible. You know, one of the Fantastic Four could have been the thief. You know, there are like the majority of them are from Boston. So, hey. Looking at you, Jessie Lebrecq.
Yeah, she's got that sneaky look about her.
Yeah, the bright side of this whole thing, though, is that I get new cameras, and that's really exciting. As soon as we actually get to order them and they come. Anyway, this is the Philadelphia Finals episode, and I was there in the crowd, as I mentioned. It was pretty exciting being there. It was a fun show. It was a fun event to watch live. I don't know about the episode, though. I wasn't as big a fan of the episode. You know, in the qualifying round, it was sort of the opposite, where like being there was kind of like, oh, man, am I going to really be here all night? But the episode was like kind of cool. This was kind of the opposite, where it was like really exciting to be there. But the episode didn't really capture what I was feeling in the audience as much. And it was pretty disappointing to see everyone fail, more so even in the episode than it was when I was there in person. What did you think, Lita?
Yeah, it was kind of a letdown of an episode. I said this on Twitter, but I will tell the American Ninja Warrior contestants in the future what I've been saying to everyone for years, which is just don't go to Philadelphia. It's not worth it. It's not a good place to be. But I mean, if Joe Moravsky, if Jeff Britton can't complete your course, you gotta change the course. This is not okay. They have to know that it's not good TV to watch no one finish, right? I mean, I understand that they wanted to revamp it and make it harder after they had two finishers in the same year, but I really hope that they dial it back next year because this course was ridiculous. It wasn't just the Rolling Thunder. The second half was also unusually hard.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't think I'd have a problem with nobody finishing. You know, I think that, you know, if that happens, it's probably a very unique thing. It could be interesting. It could be compelling. But I think that the biggest problem for me, and we'll go through the obstacles, but the biggest problem for me was the stairhopper. Because it was such a ridiculously difficult obstacle, and it wasn't even fun to watch people fail it because they just slipped right off. Like, there was nothing. Mm-hmm. It was just like over in a flash, and it wasn't like a struggle. It wasn't like anything that you could even pinpoint. It was just like, boop, guess they're gone after that whole run.
Yeah. And it was so hard to see. Like, it was also really sudden on TV. It was so hard to see what was happening. Like, they would just go and their form looked fine and they would just miss and they'd be in the water. And
yeah, exactly.
Like Jeff Britton said after he fell, he was like, I'm still not really sure why I fell. And I was like, neither is anybody watching. This is not fun to watch.
Yeah. Even as they tried, like they played it, they replayed it in slow motion, described what was happening. And it was still like, but I still don't get it.
Yeah.
Why did it move so much further the second time he inched it? Like right. It was just like on ice or something.
Right.
So yeah, that was my biggest issue, that stairhopper. But let's run through this really quickly. We had the floating steps as always, and then the log grip, which I barely even like registered when I was watching the show. Just like, I don't remember seeing anyone do the log grip. They just kind of went through it. So like nobody had an issue. And then the paddle boards, which, they brought up, in this episode, something that I had mentioned in the previous episode for qualifying, that, a third of the athletes were taken out by the paddle boards in qualifying, which is pretty crazy, especially crazy that we didn't see anybody fail, I believe, in the finals round on the paddle boards.
No, we did not. And I went paddle boarding yesterday. It's a very different thing, but I am an expert on this now.
So you clearly would not have failed on the paddle boards.
No, I would have been great at this Philadelphia's finals course.
If only they had had you. Then was the log drop, which is the, you know, you got to climb up these little peg things, go up onto this tilting wall, jump onto the trampoline, hop onto these two poles and somehow get that awkward dismount. Again, this isn't like the most fun thing to watch, trying to see them like get the dismount right. But you know, whatever.
Yeah. The wall drop is weird because it's really counterintuitive. Cause usually when you have a trampoline, you want to get a higher bounce so you can grab high on something like a cargo net. You want to grab low here, which is really dangerous because if you grab too high, then you expend a lot of energy trying to get to the bottom so you can generate momentum without falling. But if you grab too low, you risk, you know, your legs dipping into the water because it's not that high up. So I feel like this is a hard obstacle to figure out for some people.
Then we have Rolling Thunder, and they kind of talked about how they made this more difficult by you know, switching up the glass that they had in there. But I was under the assumption that they had made it easier when I was there, and I'm still kind of under that assumption because they changed it so that the glass was only filling up half of the little slots, so they didn't have to do the full grip reach to go over to the, like, skip an entire slot. So I figured it was easier. And the fact that more people made it through this time kind of like confirmed that for me. So I'm not entirely sure, you know, what's going on in that sense.
Yeah, that may be true, but at the very least they were trying to present it like they made it harder because at one point, and we'll get to this, but at one point Akbar or Matt says something about how they added another pane of plexiglass. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? But more people did get through it. It did look a little easier. I was under the impression that they did make it a little bit harder and people just knew what to do this time, or had seen how to do it or got tips or whatever. But I would believe that they made it easier, and as they should have.
Yeah.
They didn't make it easy enough.
Yeah. Like, so many people failed it. It would have been ridiculous if they had failed it again for the final. Like, we would have seen nobody get through the qualifying part of the course. But anyway, then we have the warped wall as always, and then the salmon ladder, and then the flying shelf grab, which, I like this obstacle. This is always a fun one. It's simple, it's difficult, and it's fun to watch, I think. And then we had the stairhopper, as we've talked about, not my favorite obstacle, probably my least favorite that I've seen in any of these courses. Just really just doesn't work for me. And as we talked about, like, it just looked so slippery that like any sudden movement would just like slide it off the rails and down you'd go and you'd have no idea what just happened. Just really, really, I didn't like it.
Yeah, it looked like the bar was that they were using to get across. It was like a rolling pin, which is ridiculous. Like it just rolled so much and spun so much and I didn't understand why or how it was happening.
I was imagining everything like slicked with Vaseline, just like really, really slippery.
Yeah.
Anyway, we finish off with the invisible ladder as always. And that's our course. Very, very difficult one. Again, like not my favorite. I do kind of like the Rolling Thunder. I wish it was shorter. Because it can be interesting to watch people struggle through it, but like after you've seen a few people get through it, it's kind of like, all right, this one always takes forever to get through. Like, can we just move on now?
Yeah. And so many people failed like right before the end.
Yeah.
Like the episode I feel would have been more exciting if it was just like a foot shorter and people could have gotten to that platform.
Yeah, and clearly they underestimated the strain that these obstacles would put on the upper body, because as we saw, like even the two people that did make it to the invisible ladder didn't have enough strength left in their upper body to get up the invisible ladder.
Yeah, and all of these obstacles test like the same part of your arm. Yeah. It's all forearm.
I was really hoping this season that they would take the foot off the pedal with the upper body stuff and maybe try some variety out, but it seems like they've doubled down.
Or at the very least do more bicep or finger strength obstacles. I mean, I guess they have in this one, they had the hopper, the thing where you
the
grab
hopper.
It. What's it called?
Who's bad at describing things now?
Well, I just don't know the name. The what?
The flying shelf grab?
Yes.
Which I will refer to as shelf grab because flying is absolutely not necessary in that name.
Okay, well, I was very wrong, but you know what I mean. That's the finger strength one. But these, all the other upper body ones were totally forearms. They weren't even like tricep and bicep at all.
Yes, but let's move on to our first athlete, Alyssa Beard, the 25-year-old teacher from Massachusetts. I got some tweets from people who were surprised that she was the first to go because they were hyping up the Fantastic Four so much. But we kind of see why as she goes about her run, because she goes down at the Rolling Thunder. But there's still some stuff to talk about here. What did you think of Alyssa?
Yeah, I mean, I was also surprised that she went first because they started with the first of two all-women montages to Katy Perry's Roar. So I was so hyped up, you know, and then I saw that a woman is first and I was like, okay, this is not good. However, she did really well. It's not like she had a super disappointing early exit. I mean, she made it to the Rolling Thunder and I can't expect any human person to get past that. What do you think of her t-shirt, Got Beard?
I wasn't paying attention to her t-shirt. What I was paying attention to was the fact that Akbar and Matt kept calling her Miss Beard.
Yeah, I have expressed that I think that the way that Akbar talks about teachers is creepy. Female teachers.
That's why they call her Miss. Okay, that makes more sense.
Oh, did you not realize that?
I was just like, that just seems weird. Why are they calling her Miss Beard? Makes so
her
much more sense.
Her whole package was about being a teacher. All right. For those of us who were paying attention, her package was about being a teacher. And she said that being a teacher is very similar to what she does athletically, because obviously it's an American Ninja Warrior. You have to make a huge reach for how your job helps you on the course.
It's OK. Here's something that Akbar said, and I think that I'm going to do some psychoanalysis here. I'm feeling like Akbar might be feeling a little bit self-conscious about his eyesight, because he really felt the need to keep telling us over and over, and the athletes, that he could see them. I see you, Miss Beard. I see you. Don't worry. I got you.
Yeah. Maybe he couldn't make enough puns about beards. Anyway, she wasn't wearing a Got Beard t-shirt. That was like her ninja, her whole family and friends and stuff. And I thought it was one of the weaker t-shirts. Beard doesn't even sound like milk. So it's not even really a pun,
but it is a question. Do you got beard?
I guess so. And she does not. Anyway, we have gotten very off track.
Well, hold on. There's okay. One more thing, because she had a question on her shirt, but Akbar had a question for her. We never found out what it was. He said, I've got a question for you. I've got a question for you. And then she fell and we never found out. What was the question?
The real crazy cliffhanger.
Maybe it was Got Beard, but we'll never find out.
we'll never find out. So she's the first person we see have trouble building momentum on when she grabs the log on the wall drop. And this is something that's going to come up over and over again. However, she has an amazing maneuver to get to the platform where she really stretches out her legs and is able to get that. But she hung there forever.
Yeah. And that's probably a one of the reasons that she failed at Rolling Thunder, because, again, it's just wearing out the upper body throughout the entire course. Unfortunate. But yes, down goes Alyssa Beard, and the first of our Fantastic Four has failed. Next up was Carl Fantuazzo.
I believe it's just Fantuzzo.
Fantuzzo. That's what I said. Totally. 42-year-old liquor store owner. His package was about how he's an empty nester. His kids are out of the house, and so now he's, you know, taking up ninja warrior training to pass the time because he's got nothing to do.
Are we not going to talk about how his nickname is the Big C? That's like very unfortunate. It's about cancer. It's called the Big C.
Oh, but he didn't have cancer, did he?
No, it's a joke because his name is Carl and he's very short.
Well,
and so they call him like the Big C, like a joke. But like the Big C is like a euphemism for cancer.
To be fair, that's not the greatest euphemism for cancer. It's well, a little too playful, in my opinion.
Maybe Akbar should have been saying I see you to him and that would have made more sense.
Man, why aren't you an Akbar strategic planner?
I know. I should be writing his teleprompter.
Unfortunate. anyway, he makes it to the warped wall, and this is where he has failed in the past. He's, as you mentioned, a shorter guy. He's had trouble with it, but he does make it up the warped wall. It was a big accomplishment for him. He was very happy. And then on the way up the salmon ladder, Akbar's like, oh, triceps, biceps, nice. Very, very happy about his muscles.
Okay, Akbar just came from his anatomy night class.
Yes. Then Carl fails on the shelf grab, but this is far enough, fast enough to qualify for Vegas. So second person in, already a qualifier.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions about this run. The first one is, why is he so popular? Or did he just bring a ton of people? I mean, you were there. It seemed like there was... people were cheering louder for him than other people. And I don't know if this is a guy that I should know who he is from other seasons, because I know he's competed before, but maybe he just brought a ton of people.
Noticed.
It just seemed very, very enthusiastic.
Yeah, not that I noticed when I was there, actually. Like, I did note down that there were some people that I thought seemed particularly popular in the audience when I was cheering them on, but it wasn't really noted in the show. But he wasn't one of those people.
And then I also thought it was weird that they did a weird picture-in-picture thing of him at qualifying while he was on the Rolling Thunder. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice that.
It was like while he was on the Rolling Thunder, they showed the video in like the corner of the screen of him doing the Rolling Thunder and qualifying. It was really confusing because he's wearing the exact same outfit. And I was like, what are they doing? An instant replay of like 1 second? Like, why is this happening? But it's not the first time they do like a picture in picture thing this episode. It's so bizarre.
It's a weird new technique they got.
Yeah. Their editor just like figured out how to do that. It's just like putting it everywhere.
He just figured out iMovie.
Yeah, so he qualifies. That's good. Apparently, it's more impressive because he's 42, which I don't know. I feel like Matt and Akbar send mixed signals about how old they like their.
He's no Jon Stewart. Let's say that. but next up, we've got a montage with Miles Avery, who he just keeps ticking. He's like the Energizer Bunny, says Akbar. But he couldn't stick the landing on the log drop. Then was Greg Fleming, who ran out of gas at Rolling Thunder, and Eric Torres, who climbs radio towers for a living, but couldn't climb the warped wall. Unfortunately.
Yes. Is he related to Michael Torres?
I do not know.
Me neither.
Next up was Alex Delicta.
Do you want help? Do you want me to help you?
You're supposed to just step in and just speak over me.
I don't know. I never know. I don't...
If I'm repeating Dell five times,
I figure by the time I realized you needed help, you were already going to edit this out. Alex Delacuilla.
That's what I said. The 23-year-old medieval times knight. He jousts and trains in medieval combat. He talks about how this will, of course, help him on the course. And he says he's a medieval warrior, and now he wants to be a ninja warrior.
Yeah, who do you have in knights versus ninjas?
Knights versus ninja? I mean, ninjas are better than knights. It's really pirates versus ninjas. That's the big competition.
Well, I'm introducing a different element to this. It's knights versus ninjas.
Knights are really only good at fighting other knights because their armor is just like ridiculous.
Hey, horses can trample anyone, ninjas included.
I guess so. Anyway, you know, Matt says he can ride a horse, but he needs to ride down the log grip now.
Sure. How did we not see any of this guy in qualifying? Not even in a montage. She was wearing the knight outfit in qualifying also.
Yeah, they just don't care about the costumes anymore.
Ugh, he even has like chainmail on his head. It's amazing.
I noticed him when I watched him run in the qualifying round, and I recognized him again when he ran this one.
I have more Matt and Akbarisms written down for this guy than anyone else combined.
That's good, because I only had the horse thing.
Oh my god, I have so many. All that jousting, he's developed some arm muscles. I don't know about that. That seems
straightforward to me.
Yeah, okay. The jousting ninja doth joust and win against the wall drop, says Matt.
He needs to read some more fantasy.
And then Matt also says something weird, where when he's on the Rolling Thunder, Matt is like, if you look at that wheel, it's not really a wheel. And then doesn't follow it up with anything. And I don't know what he's talking about.
Oh,
and then Akbar says that old quote that your parents used to tell you when you were a kid. If you are a medieval knight, fight through the lactic acid.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're not a medieval knight, you really have no hope, so.
Yeah. Oh, and then also, the wheel is a dragon that you must slay, because he got some advice from Coach.
Yeah,
Akbar Dragon before. Slayer. Yeah.
Something that I noted was that he was going sideways on the Rolling Thunder, which I thought was a very inefficient technique, because when you're going sideways, you can't go hand over hand. So it's taking you almost twice as long to get across as opposed to going, you know, backwards where you can, you know, reach across hand over hand and essentially have double the speed. So it was an interesting decision by him. I'm not sure why he decided to go with it, but he does end up falling there, doing a backflip on his way down.
Yeah, I feel like maybe he saw that like the easiest way to dismount is to turn sideways to get that momentum after going backwards. And maybe he thought he wanted to already be sideways so he wouldn't have to make that transition to dismount. But yeah, it was a bad strategy.
Yeah. Next up was another montage. First was John Gowder Jr., who was featured in the qualifying round. This is the guy whose dad had MS, and he is an industrial electrician, and he had a power outage at the paddleboards. So there was somebody who failed at the paddleboards here, but only in the montage. Next was Yancy Quizada, and this guy was very popular with the crowd. I don't know why, but everyone was like, Yancy, yeah, Yancy. Everyone loved this guy.
Maybe they were just excited to hear someone named Yancy outside the context of Futurama.
Maybe.
I've never heard that before.
He was dressed like he was on vacation, but his trip was cut short at the salmon ladder. And then Tyler Cravens, who is an exercise science major who flunked his test at the wall drop.
It's Marcus Craven, I think.
Marcus?
Yeah. I'm gonna just Google that real quick. I'm sorry to give you extra work editing this.
I Googled Tyler Cravens and it's there. So I was right.
Do you want to explain to me who Marcus Craven is and why I came up with that name?
Maybe you're just thinking about Gabon.
That's Marcus Lehman. Those don't even sound alike. All right. Well,
it's Marcus.
What?
Still Marcus.
I guess.
By the way, since I was right, I'm totally leaving this in.
All of this?
Yes.
No, wait.
Okay, maybe I'll only leave in a little bit of it.
Please do. No one wants to hear this.
Everyone wants to hear this.
God, this
anyway.
Isn't the happy hour, Taryn. We can't just bicker for 20 minutes.
Anyway, next up was Fabio. Oh, God. Figueredo. Next up is Fabio, the 35-year-old barber who talked about how he cuts hair and how that's going to help him on the Ninja Warrior course, of course.
Yeah, this was weird because his intro, Akbar is like, we get ninjas from all occupations and every state in the U.S. And I thought he was going to say that he was like, I don't know, a medieval times knight from like Alaska. And he was just like a barber from like some normal state that I don't even have written down. That's like a weird thing to say, right?
He represents the everyman from the everywhere.
I guess. Is he a concrete barber or just a hair barber?
Just a hair barber. A concrete barber would not have the same advantages on the American Ninja Warrior course as a hair barber.
Yeah, that's true, because there's no second chances in cutting hair.
Yeah. He stumbles at the paddle boards, but he does manage to survive it. He's super pumped up, very, very aggressive as he takes on this course. Again, barely survives the wall drop. This was kind of crazy to watch. He grabs the bottom of the two poles and just immediately just like slams into the landing platform and just climbs up. So I still don't even understand how he managed to survive.
Yeah. So is the rule of the wall drop just that like you have to just touch those cylinders before you go to the platform? Because he didn't look like he grabbed them at all. And it seems like more people then would just go straight from the trampoline to the platform.
I imagine that it was you're supposed to grab onto them, but I think he probably put enough of a grab that they were like, all right, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that you could have just like jumped and like pushed them out of the way and then landed on the platform.
Okay.
But Matt had a line here. He said, this barber has had a number of close shaves already.
Yeah. And he got cut at the Rolling Thunder.
Yes, he did. He had momentum, but then he stopped. And as soon as he stopped, his muscles failed him and he went straight into the water. Or so he says in his exit interview.
Yeah, where he says, when I stopped, my muscles stopped.
Yes.
Insightful.
Well, you know, muscles are always running.
Also worth noting, and we should talk about this at the end of the podcast, but he says that the reason that being a barber is similar to American Ninja Warrior is because that there are no second chances, but there are second chances in American Ninja Warrior because they've released the wild cards this week.
Oh, did they? Yeah. I haven't even seen this.
Mm-hmm. So we can get to those.
Interesting. Next up was Michael Torres, the 21-year-old carpenter. And he loves woodworking. And this is kind of a new one for me. I wrote down a quote from his dad. He said, yeah, Michael, he's able to figure things out in his brain.
That's a good place to figure things out.
Yeah. And woodworking, of course, going to help him on the course.
Obviously.
He was also a state champion hurdler. And I don't think I even wrote anything else because I was just looking at my face.
This was the Taryn Armstrong Memorial Facial Expression 3 minutes of the episode. The palm crazy wonderful Taryn Armstrong close up session. Yeah. This was all you. I also have fewer notes for this. You look pretty happy to see someone get through the flying shelf grab.
That was, yes. I actually was very happy every time somebody got through the shelf grab because a lot of people failed there and they didn't show many people fail there on the episode, but a lot of people did. So it was very exciting whenever somebody managed to. But yes, Michael Torres, he gets to the stair hopper. And as he's, you know, building up momentum to do the last dismount, the bar just slips right back again. It's just coated in Vaseline, I imagine. And it just goes right off and he goes right into the water. And I'm pretty sure every time you see someone fail that obstacle, you see me like throw my arms up to defend myself.
Yeah, you were covering your
encroaching
face.
Water. Yeah. but yes, that is Michael Torres.
Did you see like between runs when the crew goes to like reassemble the obstacles, did you see them like dipping that bar in like chicken fat just so it would like really slide?
I'm pretty sure they did that in secret.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't want us to know. But I mean, it was blatantly obvious anyway. So
yeah. So after this run, now that I figured out where you are, my notes for the stair hopper kind of go away. Also, this run is where there's a huge shot of Jesse Graff with her pig, and now I'm just totally looking for that pig.
Well, something that should be interesting to note is that where you see me in this run, in those bleachers, like dead center, looking down from the stair hopper, I was only there for half of the taping. The other half, I was a little bit further down to the right at the very end of the crowd, essentially. But like, I guess the majority of the people that made it to the stair hopper were in that second half. So it seems like I'm there for like the entire episode.
Yeah. Well, now all the listeners know that I am on vacation, so I didn't not have the ability to pause the episode, but I told everyone, tweet me your most unflattering photos of Taryn if you can pause your TV.
There's no such thing.
And all the best pictures of Jesse Grass pig, because I love that pig.
All right. Next up was Rachel Goldstein, the 32-year-old occupational therapist. She was our second of the Fantastic Four. She didn't get a package this time, but she did get the weird picture-in-picture thing, which I thought was just, like, really strange, especially because it didn't really add anything. Like, they said that her boyfriend proposed to her after 12 years, and then they had the picture-in-picture interview where she said, yeah, my boyfriend proposed to me after 12 years. It seemed like a long time, but it happened.
Yeah, because, listen, on this night where we're celebrating women's accomplishments, we can't forget the men that were behind them.
I mean, we can't forget about the men, too.
I mean, the most important things about Rachel Goldstein are the two things we learn, which are that she is engaged to a man. Good for her. And that Jamie Ron really made her a good athlete.
Jamie Ron, yeah.
He is really should get all of the credit for Rachel Goldstein's prowess. And they even have, like, a quote where they're like, it's amazing how people like Jamie Ron can make these athletes. Like, oh, my God.
Well, luckily, I still have the notes from the qualifying episode where they gave her an actual package.
Oh, thank God.
She works with older teens with special needs, and she uses the Ninja Warrior obstacles to help with various forms of therapy. And she gets to the wall drop and is not able to build up the proper momentum to get to that dismount platform. And she unfortunately goes down into the water. This is the worst finish of the Fantastic Four and very unfortunate.
Yeah, this is really disappointing. And this is going to strap us in for a long night of disappointment.
Yes. Next up was Joe Moravsky, the 27-year-old meteorologist. This is, you know, I was really looking forward to Joe's run, and typical of a Joe run, really, really great. He speeds through the beginning of it. He's so efficient in these runs. It's just incredible to watch. They again mentioned that he's finished every finals course he's ever faced, in order to, you know, take him down a peg, I guess, when he fails here. But what did you think of Joe's run?
I mean, obviously, it's amazing. I hate how the Rolling Thunder didn't even look that hard for him. I mean, I'm sure it was because he was totally gassed, but you couldn't even really like, see it on his face. He's just superhuman. He is like, when he's on the stair hopper, he like starts laughing at a certain point because even he is just like, what the heck is this? Like, what is this fresh hell? Why am I here? Because that stair hopper is just... how I feel like you can't figure it out from watching other people on it, even if there had been a lot of people who'd gone on it before him.
Yeah. And like he ran like a perfect run, basically. Like every single obstacle was extremely efficient. He even dismounted from Rolling Thunder really, like really early in order to not expend extra strength on that obstacle. And he still, it took up too much upper body strength to allow him to get up the invisible ladder. But yes, on the stair hopper, he was something that he seemed to do that others seemed to fail when they tried was that, he literally just hopped. He didn't really inch the bar too much. He just like, he did the hops and he got through it. It seemed like if you tried to inch it at all, that Vaseline would just slip the bar all over the place and you'd totally lose control. So, it seemed like he had the right technique there. But again, doesn't get up the invisible ladder. And I can say that when I was there, as he came down and he was walking by, he was just like, oh man, that was the first time I failed a finals course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, tonight is going to break a lot of streaks.
Yeah.
For people.
And I will say that you mentioned like, you know, even if he's seen people do this before, they did show him as the first person to complete this. But Chris Wilczewski was actually like long before Joe ran. Chris Wilczewski was the first person, I think, to even get to the stair hopper. And he, like, as we'll talk about, breezed through it. So I thought it was an interesting change of order there. But we'll get to Chris in a little bit. Next up was another montage. Richard Shoemaker is up first. He checked out on the shelf grab, but he does qualify for Vegas. Then we had Mike Soria, the high school wrestling champ, who was no match for the Rolling Thunder. And then finally, Nick Kostreski, the aerospace engineer who couldn't figure out the flying shelf grab, but again, also qualifies for Vegas. Then we have Naji Richardson, who I thought was one of the most impressive athletes we saw all night, despite the fact that we saw people as good as Joe Morovsky and Jeff Britton. He looks so impressive. The 25-year-old fitness coach who was a gymnast before he was injured and had to give it up and has gone like a phoenix to compete in Ninja Warrior instead. What did you think of Naji?
This was the first run, I think, that really galvanized me for the rest of the episode. There had been a lot of disappointments, a lot of high hopes for people that were crushed by this impossible course. But I really like this guy. I remember him from qualifying. He had an emotional package that was, you know, good emotional about his parents supporting him and working so hard for him to be able to pursue his dreams and do what he is so good at, which is gymnastics and competing in American Ninja Warrior. And he is doing this for them. So I was, you know, feeling that for the first time tonight, that emotion that some of these packages give. And then also, this was the first time I was really on the edge of my seat, excited about someone and cheering for someone. And he really got me a little more pumped for the rest of the episode. I was kind of feeling down after Joe Morovsky.
Yeah, he just has such great body control, just like throughout the entire course, like not necessarily as efficient as Joe, but just so talented in his movements and the way that he approaches these obstacles. When he does the Rolling Thunder, he flies through it. There is not a single stumble or hesitation. He just gets all the way through it. No messing up at all. He gets up when he got up the warped wall. Or maybe it was during the shelf grab. Akbar says, "Fly like a phoenix bird. I see you, baby."
Yeah, well, I like audibly gasped when he got up the warped wall because he got an extra,
yes,
literally
it was, yeah,
2 feet. Oh my God, it was amazing. And this is the higher warped wall than we've seen in past seasons already. It was amazing.
Clearly, we need to see him on the next warped wall skill challenge.
Yes, definitely.
But he also slips up on the stair hopper. And again, it's kind of just like, what did he even do wrong? It just kind of like all of a sudden slips and falls into the water. And again, like watching this, it was similar to the qualifying round where it was like for the paddle boards, where you were just hoping to not see a red light. Just like watching them do the stair hopper was just like, I hope they just don't randomly fall, because yeah, that's what it looks like. And he was one of those ones that did, which is very unfortunate. But despite that, he does qualify for Vegas, and I'm very excited to see what he's capable of in the final, the national finals in Vegas. So definitely looking forward to that. Next up, another montage. First was Brandon Pinnell, who is down at the flying shelf grab, qualifies for Vegas. And then Anthony DeFranco, who also qualifies for Vegas. He was the fastest in qualifying. He had the Palm Wonderful run of the night, but it's also down at the flying shelf grab. And then finally, Mike Bernardo, who also qualifies for Vegas, thankfully, and fails at the stair hopper. Then we have Jamie Ron, the amazing Jamie Ron, the 28-year-old gym owner. And I can tell you, if we're talking about popular people, Jamie Ron was probably the most popular person there. He was the belle of the ball. Everyone loves Jamie Ron. Everyone's friends with Jamie Ron. Everyone loves talking about how awesome Jamie Ron is, because he is awesome. And on top of all that, he has a package about his little puppy. A dog with like a little green hair.
Yes. A Captain NBC Yorkie.
Yes. He attempts to go on just one side of the paddle boards, which is a very risky technique there. But he still does barely manage to make it through. And they say that he is the only person to ever do this and succeed, I guess.
But that's not true. And I have a note about this, because they say like he's the only person to go down the left side and succeed, and maybe that's true, but earlier we had Fabio go down one side and made it. He had to kind of dive and it was messy, but he did make it. And so I noted that maybe they meant like literally he was the first person to go down the left side. Someone had done it on the right, but we saw someone do it, unless these were out of order and he had done it first.
Maybe, yeah. I'm disappointed that they lied to me now.
Well, it wasn't necessarily a lie. It might be that he had been the first person to go down the left side. That's just a really weird thing to comment on.
Well, it was the right side, wasn't it?
Oh, maybe I have it written down. I have left side. Doesn't matter.
I didn't write down the side, but in my memory, I'm seeing him do it on the right side, but who knows?
Yeah, well, we know how they love to over-exaggerate making history, so.
Oh, of course. This was a really great Akbarism when Jamie fails on the Stairhopper, which again was just like really annoying to see yet another person fail here. But Akbar says, "Oh, it's a trap."
I mean,
it was a trap.
In that there's like a trap door and Akbar just pushes a button and has random people just fall off of it.
Like, don't do it. It's a trap. Just skip the obstacle.
Yeah. Just jump so high on the trampoline that you just go over it.
Yeah. He tried to go through it really quickly. He talked about wanting to go get through it as fast as he can so that he didn't gas out. But again, he ends up slipping here. So again, it seems like the right technique is to take an aggressive approach, but don't go so fast that the momentum is going to keep the bar moving and slide on that Vaseline.
You say it with such confidence, I'm starting to think that there really is Vaseline on the
That's what
obstacle.
I'm hoping for. but yeah, so that's it for Jamie Ron, but he does qualify for Vegas.
Yes, and we are going to get another instance of Katy Perry's roar. Thank God. They paid the royalties for this song, and they are going to use it.
Well, I would hope so. Next up is Michelle Warnke, the 31-year-old gym owner. Didn't get a package this time.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird. Her package last time was focused on the business owner side of her owning her gym. But this time, there's nothing there. It's just, you know, continuing to be about this Fantastic Four thing. And again, we see her dad in the audience, super enthusiastic. And I'm pretty sure I mentioned this last time, but he was just a riot throughout the entire event, like running around, finding people, cheering other people on. He was just like a ball of energy. Really, really fun guy.
Yeah. This, I thought, would bode well for her going far because she didn't get a package. I thought that they would take every opportunity to give her one. So I thought maybe she's going to Vegas, so they want to save more stuff for that. But nope, another huge disappointment.
Well, she doesn't make it to Vegas. She falls on the Rolling Thunder. She gets all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And just isn't able to make the dismount. It's so close. But I do think that every one of these Fantastic Four women, I think every one of them, the ones that didn't qualify, I think they'll get wild cards. Although, you know the wild cards, and I don't. So,
oh, well, they announced them this week, so they wouldn't have announced the Philadelphia ones because it would have been a spoiler. So, okay. I don't know if they have announced the Philadelphia wild cards yet. Probably not, because it's airing on Esquire tonight, and they usually don't do it until after that. However, I also believe that they will all be wild cards because I believe every single wild card is a woman.
Oh, okay.
Which,
I mean, that's a move, and I understand it.
Yes, I understand it also.
Kind of, I would like to see, you know, some people like maybe JJ Woods in there, but well, all right.
Yeah, and again, I don't know if they've announced all of them. They've been releasing them on Twitter this week. Of course, I'm always for more women being given more chances, but I don't want it to get to the point where you automatically go to Vegas just by merit of being a woman and trying out. That, I think, is dangerous because I think it undermines the achievements of a lot of these fantastic athletes.
Right. And I don't want it to seem like, you know, they're trying to obviously get, you know, the first woman to clear stage one, but I don't want it to be because they stacked so many women in the stage. There's like, well, one of them surely will complete the stage, right?
Statistically.
but, you know, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. Wild cards are wild cards. They've always been producer picks, and, you know, they're going to do what they want. And obviously the women thing is something that they push a lot, and it draws a lot of viewers. So I can't really blame them too much.
Yeah.
But we'll talk a little bit more about that later when we discuss the wild card entries. Next up, we have Chris Wilczewski, the 26-year-old gym owner. I was very excited to see him run. He's always been one of my favorites. They talk about his kind of checkered success where he gets to stage two and then he fails in qualifying and then gets to stage two and then fails in qualifying. So I expect him to get to stage two this year. They also mentioned he's been competing since season two. And one of the reasons why I really like this guy is that to see like his progress, like the how much he's grown as a person even has just been really cool. When he first showed up, he was just kind of like this typical like frat boy kind of dude. And then like as the seasons progressed, he showed up and he had kind of turned his life around, you know, had reorganized his priorities and has just been like the coolest guy ever since. And I really like Chris Wilczewski. Just seems like an awesome, awesome dude. Always super positive. He's wearing pink here to support his friend's mother who has breast cancer. He's awesome. Here's something that I noticed when I was watching live. His chest is all red, and I couldn't tell if that was part of the pink theme, like he had pinked up his chest, or if it was like from the obstacles. I'm pretty sure it was from the obstacles because I think when he grabbed onto those poles from the wall drop, it like rubbed against his chest and like made his chest all red. But like, it's probably only interesting to me because I was curious about it. But like, I was glad to have the mystery solved.
I did not notice that. Every time he's running, I am looking at his brother because Brian is very handsome.
Well, there you go. Look at that.
And that's all I have to say about that.
I would have thought that Chris was the better looking one, but
I mean, not that he is not handsome. Don't get me wrong. That's, well, you know, I just always make clear my preferences with these brothers. I've done it for the Brazzy Bros.
Yes, and it's very important to know the preferences.
Yeah, everybody's got to know.
And let's just say, you know, and I have nothing against Chris's brother, but, you know, I'm a Chris dude.
All right. Well, yeah, it's fine. I'll try to move past it.
As I talked about, he was super aggressive on the stairhopper. He just did the jumps. He didn't do any inching. And I think that's why he was able to get through. And again, as I mentioned, he was the first one, I believe, to even tackle this obstacle. So it's very surprising that he managed to do it so effectively. And it's also surprising that none of the other athletes sort of mimicked his style because it was so successful.
Yeah, I still think it's hard to see what people are doing, though.
Oh, yeah. And I imagine maybe because he went on it first, people thought like, OK, maybe it's not super difficult. Like maybe we don't need to do it exactly the way that he did it. And then they find out that it's slicked up with Vaseline and you know, down they go. But yes, he does. He gets to the invisible ladder. He gets all the way to the top. He's so close. And he just barely doesn't make it. And I was very disappointed, but because he was so early in the night, I figured like, oh, well, you know, we'll see plenty of other people get here. So it's not that big of a deal. He's still going to qualify. Like he's still had a great run. But no, he is the closest person to even finishing the course this episode. And I can also note that if you're looking for me, again, like I said, I was further to the right on this one because this is earlier in the night. This is the first half. So that's how you know they changed the order up.
I'll look for that when I rewatch this on my DVR just to look for you.
My insider knowledge is frightening in its relevancy. Next up is another montage. This is kind of a sad montage because I love both of these people. First was John Alexis, the Giant Junior, who at 6'6 came up short at the stairhopper. And he had such a fun run. Like they showed him do the like ninja moves with the bar at the stairhopper. But still, like it would have been fun to see him. I thought he was one of the more interesting and entertaining runs of the night when I was there watching. And he's also just a fun guy in general. So look out for the Giant in Vegas. I'm excited to see what he's capable of. Then we got.
Sorry, I just wanted to mention that was one thing that I did like about the stairhopper was that they grabbed the bar from like the side. It wasn't like attached to the obstacles, so they kind of got to like unsheath it. And I thought that was cool that you could do like little moves with that. So I'm glad he took advantage of that.
There you go. Next up was Ryan Stratus, who, as we, you know, found out in the previous episode, has a bad shoulder, but still made it all the way to the stairhopper and also failed here. So many people failed here, and you know, not as much as failed on the shelf grab, but all of the best athletes seem to just like fail on the stairhopper. It was very upsetting. But Ryan Stratus, very impressive run, and also qualifies for Vegas. And then next up, finally, Jesse LeBrec, the 26-year-old caregiver from Maine, lives in Boston. We get another package about her and Emmeline, which of course is, you know, just like heart-wrenching, very emotional, very, she's just like such an awesome person in general, and such a good athlete. So very excited to see her run. What were you thinking with Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, she is amazing. She wears amazing sports bras. She has an amazing body. What I like about this crop of women, particularly this year, and I feel like we see this a lot of years, but because women have been more successful this year than any other year, I've noticed it, is that even just in the way that these women look and the way that they carry themselves in their walks of life, they're all so, so different. And that's something that we see, obviously, with American Ninja Warrior. The reason we like it is because it's people from all walks of life, of all shapes and sizes. But to be able to see a field of women that all look different and all have really different jobs and really different things that you notice about them and that stick out about them. Some of these people, like Megan Martin, are full-time athletes. Some of these people, like Jesse LeBrec, have really a different job that doesn't have anything to do with athletics, but they all come together and support each other and find the strength to do this, is really amazing. So I'm glad that we can add her to kind of the Mount Rushmore of women ninja athletes. I just love her.
Yeah. And what a great run too. You know, she struggles through the Rolling Thunder. She's, she's clearly struggling at the end. She gets going sideways, and she barely gets through it, but amazing moment when she does. Then she gets all the way through, you know, up the warped wall, up the salmon ladder, like no issues whatsoever. And Akbar really freaking out when she's on the shelf grab. He says, "I see you, girl. I see you, girl. That's my home girl right there. Matt, that's my home girl right there. I see you. She is a LeBrec house."
Yes, he recycled "she's a LeBrec house" twice during this run, which he already did in qualifying. So
yeah,
step it up, Akbar. Although Akbar does say something like weirdly clever on the Rolling Thunder, and I don't even know if he meant it. I think it just kind of happened, where she needed to do one more turn, one more revolution of the Thunder, and Akbar was like, "Create a revolution here." And I think he literally meant like a revolution of the wheel, but like also, you know, it's a revolution of American Ninja Warrior women happening. It's like a weirdly inspiring moment from Akbar. It's like she is creating a revolution.
Despite the revolution she creates, she does fail on the stair hopper. But still, what a great run. She gets the Palm Wonderful run of the night. And let me tell you, like, this is the run I was most looking forward to. And this is kind of one of the biggest examples that I'm going to point to when I say that I'm not sure that they really captured in the show just how it felt to watch this in the audience. This was like by far the most emotional run of the night. Like the entire crowd was just like living and dying by her doing these obstacles, and by the end of it, like, people were nearly in tears. She was with a group of athletes. I don't want to out them necessarily, because they all go to this gym, but like, they were in tears hugging each other, like they were so proud of her, and the cameras didn't catch it. And I even saw that, like, I saw it happening, and like, I was misty-eyed. And I was like, the cameras are not capturing this right now. Like, they're missing gold right here, because it was such a great moment. And I was really excited to see it in the episode, because I figured, you know, the way they edit things, it's so over dramatic and over the top. I figured it would be even more emotional, but it just didn't capture just like how it felt to be there, which I guess is a difficult thing to do. But that was by far the best moment of the entire two nights, watching her do her run. And I didn't even know who she was or why people were emotional about seeing her. It was such a great moment.
Yeah. I mean, I was crying, but to be fair, I cry at every episode. So they captured it a little bit, but I definitely buy that they didn't go all in.
Yeah, but it's just like, to see these big, like, all these athletes who are typically like these upbeat kind of people, they're all just like in tears, hugging each other, so happy for her. Like, that's the kind of camaraderie I love in the show. And it's unfortunate that the camera people kind of miss that. But I guess, you know, they can't capture everything. But yes, that was Jesse LeBrec. What a great run. I am excited to see her in Vegas for sure.
Yeah. And awesome. Three women have qualified outright for Vegas.
Yeah.
Which is just
pretty crazy.
amazing.
They don't need these wild cards. They've got the actual women.
Well, let's not go too far. They need some wild cards.
Finally, we have Jeff Britton, the 36-year-old cameraman, the first American Ninja Warrior, as they continue to call him, which just like made my heart swell. His package, he talked about how he's accomplished his goal. The rest is just fun. No pressure. You know, he's already won, and now everything else is just like icing on top of it. He's clearly, you know, going into these obstacles looking to have some fun, which I really appreciate. And he has an interesting encounter on the Rolling Thunder where his arm slips off and he's holding on by one arm, and Akbar says, "Whoa, he almost slipped off, but those Popeye arms saved him. Who needs spinach when you've got those arms?"
Well, spinach helped create those arms, so that doesn't make any sense.
But then Matt retorts, maybe he fixes it. He says, his spinach is this course. He loves American Ninja Warrior.
That's so beautiful.
It's amazing. The poetry.
Oh my God. Why can't we have banter like Matt and Akbar?
Hey, we have the best banter. Also, I was really worried here because there was a certain saying by Akbar that we hadn't got all night. And I was like, oh my God, is he going to not say this thing? I was going to be really disappointed. But then he managed to just like throw it into somewhere. He goes, oh, shana-na. He made that look easy.
Do you think that Akbar is trying to like really coin a catchphrase like a la Paul? Like he's just like, I'm just going to say this enough times that even if people don't get it, it's just going to be my catchphrase.
Maybe he's trying to bring back the band.
Maybe like they paid him to do this, to like stay in the public consciousness.
Just getting it like subconsciously, like subliminal messaging, even though that's not actually a real thing. He's trying to like do that and just like get it in our heads so that we're like, oh yeah, Shana-na.
Shana-na. I like those guys. I've heard of them.
Exactly. But again, on the Stairhopper, the bar just slides right off. He's inching it forward, and then all of a sudden, it just like it has a mind of its own, slides right off on that Vaseline, and just down he goes, super abrupt. It was just like, it was so out of nowhere. It's like it's over before you even realize what's happening, and it's just so disappointing.
I loved his wife jumping in after him though, into the water. That was really cute.
Yeah, it's very cute.
He also, like, he says what I think a lot of people have been saying. I've at least seen this on Twitter, where he says that qualifying course in Philly the night before felt like a stage three course. And I feel like that is the story of this episode.
Yeah. And let me just say this again. I love that they're calling him the first American Ninja Warrior. I like, it's just like, it's starting to seep in now. You know, Isaac hasn't even been on this season at all. So it's like, yes, Jeff, remember Jeff. He deserves it.
Yes, for sure. We didn't have that thing this episode where we show who's on the bubble. Thought that was interesting. Maybe it was just no one interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's that comment.
I mean, I don't know who's on the bubble, so.
Yeah. I don't know if I like that. Like, it really bums me out sometimes. So maybe it's better that they didn't have that. This episode was kind of a bummer enough. So that's fine.
And then they end this episode. This is something that I haven't noticed before in any of the episodes. And I only noticed it for this one. But they end it with the qualifying athletes like running through a crowd of people, essentially. Have you ever noticed them doing this before?
Yeah, they always do that.
Yeah, I'd never noticed it. They ask the crowd to like stay so that they could film that scene. And they were like, please stay. And I was like, no, it's 5 in the morning. I am not staying. But it was on.
Taron Armstrong has better things to do. He is the star of the show.
Yes.
Did they ask you to run through?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they wanted me, but I was like, listen, I need to get my beauty sleep. I've got a whole day to go eat donuts in Philadelphia tomorrow. So listen, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, I'm sure they understand.
But I they made such a big deal of it, and it was like a 2-second shot. But yeah, that is the end of our episode. Like I said, you know, it wasn't my favorite. I thought it could have been better, given that I was there and I saw what happened. But, you know, whatever. It's, you know, the Vegas finals are coming up, so I'm just pumped for that. I'm really excited to get into the real meat of the show and see what happens.
Yes, me as well. And I'm excited to be back here doing this weekly, not taking an Olympic break. I did want to mention regarding the Olympics, climbing is going to be an Olympic event in 2020. So we might see some familiar faces in the Olympics. Maybe you will finally watch.
I honestly would watch for I in the last couple of years have enjoyed a few climbing videos here and there. You know, like I don't remember what it was that got me into it, but like I saw a really cool video of some woman like doing some really cool climbing problems, and I was just like, this is awesome. And I like went down a YouTube hole of just like watching a bunch of climbing things, and it's actually really interesting and really fun to watch. So I really would probably watch that.
Yeah, and Megan Martin says at this point she is keeping her options open, so there you go. See her in 2020.
We should get into the wild cards. You're going to read them off to me, and we're going to get my live reactions to these wild cards on this podcast exclusive. We can just briefly discuss what we think of the choices.
Yes. Okay. So I'm reading this off of AmericanNinjaWarriorNation.com. So if these are completely wrong, I'm sorry. So we have Tori Garcia. She was from the military qualifiers originally.
I don't remember.
That's fair. We have, of course, Tiana Weberly.
Yes. I thought we might get Tiana.
Yes. We have obviously Natalie Duran.
Yes. That is unsurprising, I think.
Yeah, the YouTube sensation. These are now from Atlanta. We have Erica Cook. I think that she was on Team Ninja Warrior.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. She was the course tester. She was on the Team Ninja Warrior with Drew Dreschel and James McGrath. And she had made it up the warped wall in Team Ninja Warrior. She was very impressive. I'm happy to see her get into Vegas.
Yes, I like Erica Cook. We have the producer pick of all producer picks, Brittany Reed.
Oh, yes. She was the insurance agent / model who was like...
Yes, whose brother is mad that she's more famous than him.
Is she the one with the brother? I don't think she is.
Oh, well... I thought that she was.
She was the one that was like, oh, I'm super, like, people underestimate me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's very beautiful.
People think she's just a nice face.
Yes. And that she is, but she's also an athlete. Okay. And then Indianapolis, we have Christy Pratt. Oh, she did the salmon ladder in her wedding dress.
Oh, yeah. She's the machine.
Sure.
That's her nickname. She was called the machine.
I believe you. I just don't remember.
And she was like very serious. That's a good choice, I think.
Yeah. We have Michaela Kirsch. She is a rookie who is a competitive rock climber.
Yeah. She's friends with Megan Martin, I believe.
That makes sense.
And they were really building her up in that qualifying episode. But she failed on the disc runner.
Yes. Then we have Jerry Dorelio, who has been on Team Ninja Warrior. And that is all I remember about her.
I do not remember Jerry.
Oklahoma City, we have Cassie Craig. I don't remember her either. we have, let's see, how do I pronounce this? Casey Catanzaro? Never heard of her.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So Casey will be returning.
Of course.
Are you shocked? Are you so surprised? I'm blindsided.
Well, okay, let's face it. Every once in a while, they have to give these spots to unknowns. and, you know, it's just going to happen sometimes.
Yeah, it's going to happen. We have Asya Gretschka, A-S-Y-A.
Ooh, I think I remember her.
She's French. She is the French one. The robotics student.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I really love her. She's really cool.
Yes. We have, of course, Rose Wetzel.
Yes.
And I believe that is all they have announced as of now, but I imagine the three of the Fantastic Four that did not qualify will be wild
cards. How many were there that you just listed?
There are 12, but there are more from some cities than others, it looks like.
Well, I guess, you know, they're going for all women, so.
Right, exactly.
Maybe it couldn't be a clean. But yeah, that makes sense. I imagine that we'll see the other three from the Fantastic Four round out this wild card list. So yeah, that looks like we will have all women wild cards. I mean, a lot of those women I do remember and I do like a lot. So it's not like they necessarily chose bad people, but you know, I do think there were some other people like JJ Woods that maybe could have seen. But you know, again, like I said, it's their choice. It's why it's there.
Yeah. Who's your biggest snub, do you think?
Well, David Campbell.
Right. Well, I don't think that we were anticipating him to be a wild card.
No. Yeah, it's really just like David Campbell should be in Vegas. Like Vegas without David Campbell is like Ninja Warrior without David Campbell. It's not, it shouldn't be, it shouldn't exist.
Very poetic.
But yeah, that's all we've got for you. I hope that you enjoyed the podcast. It was really fun to be in Philadelphia, and I've had a lot of fun talking about Ninja Warrior with you guys up until this point. But we have the finals, the Vegas finals coming up. This is the time. This is the big part. This is the big part. This is the heart of the show. This is what we're here for, to see them compete on the actual course, stages 1 through 4, see if we can crown another American Ninja Warrior. I'm super excited about it. I'm hoping that we can get at least one more guest for you before we finish off the season and get them to talk about their experience in Vegas. Very, very, very excited about everything going on. Tell your friends to tune in, because this is the time.
Yes, and speaking of telling your friends, make sure to leave us a review and a rating in the iTunes store. That really helps us out. And you could get your review read on the podcast. I have a new review for us, Taryn.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. This is from Grant Plater. Says, fantastic podcast, 5 stars. I've been a casual watcher of American Ninja Warrior on and off for a few years. Thinking it'd be cool to check up on an RHAP perspective of the show. I tuned into the podcast and it was fantastic. They offer a lot of insight into the technique and inner working of the challenges, which is great because when I watch, I struggle to think of anything more than just, huh, that looks hard. It's almost like applying game theory analysis to a chiefly physical competition, which is an interesting viewpoint. Taryn and Lita are also both wicked funny, which is always a plus. So that's good, because I think of us first and foremost as game theorists. I don't know about you, Taryn.
Well, I obviously think of myself as a game theorist, which is like, it's basically what I do on the Big Brother podcast. But here's where I take issue. We just read a review on their Happy Hour podcast, and that review said that I was kind of funny, not wicked funny.
I guess I just bring out the best in you.
Yeah, maybe I'm funnier on this podcast. Who knows?
Yeah, we have more material, I feel like, with the Akbarisms.
Here's another thing, though. My esteemed colleague, Brent, on the Happy Hour, who is a fellow live feed correspondent for Big Brother, he forced people to leave reviews for their Happy Hour, and then they got tons of reviews, and now I feel left out on this American Ninja Warrior podcast. I feel like our fans, we're nicer to you guys. We don't force you to do anything, but you know, because we don't use those dark side techniques, we just, the good guys finish last. So if you feel like helping out the good guys, the light side of the force, leave us a positive review or whatever kind of review you want. I will very much appreciate it. And, it's seriously, like, genuinely, like, reading the reviews, the fact that people take the time out of their day to go there and to help us out in that way, when there's really nothing that they get in return, it means a lot to me. And I know it means a lot to Lita as well. So thank you so much. And to everyone that's subscribed and to everyone that listens, it's really fun to do this. And I, like I said, I'm really excited to get into the Vegas stuff. So let's keep this train going.
Yes. We missed all of you the last 3 weeks. We are excited.
Very much so. All 4 of you. So yes, you can subscribe to us at American Ninja Warrior Rehap Ups on iTunes. You can also subscribe to the Reality TV Rehap Up feed on iTunes, and you can get all those other shows on the network as well. And that's about it. That's all we've got for you.
You can also subscribe to our thoughts and ideas on Twitter.
Yes. I am at Armstrong Terran on Twitter. I changed my Twitter profile and header. Lita was not happy about it, but it happens.
Just so people are clear, I am not this deeply invested in your life.
I didn't want to give the explanation because I really wanted them to wonder.
That makes me feel seem like such a weirdo. Taryn didn't run this by me. We had weirdly matching header photos before we even met each other. They were both characters from TV shows, like lying in beds. And it looked, mine was Lisa Simpson. I don't know who yours is.
It was the dude from like 10 Million Merits from Black Mirror. Well, now it's Maple Street from the Twilight Zone episode, The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. One of the best ones of all time. Anyway, that is far beyond the point. It is at Armstrong Terran. You are at Lita Tweeted. And that's it. That's all we got for you. So thank you so much for listening. We will see you next time.